If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, you're going to see that Joanna was very loyal. Joanna was a very loyal woman. It says, and Joanna, the wife of Sisa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Now, we see that her husband was one of Herod's stewards. Now, we need to look at this ungodly man, Herod, for just a minute and see how the loyalty of Joanna was so very important. Now, Herod was one of the most wicked rulers of the Jews of the day. Now, Herod was the son of Herod the Great. He was in rule when Christ was born, and he was the one that had all of the babies killed under the age of 3 years old. Now, Herod, this Herod, was given an inheritance of one-fourth of the kingdom of his father, Herod the Great, which he had, and he continued where his father had left off and was a very, very wicked ruler. He taxed the people unfairly. He would treat his servants harshly, and he was not a very nice person. In fact, he had a lot of people executed for the cause of Christ. And what we need to realize is if you were a follower of the Lord, you had to do it very carefully, because otherwise he would have you arrested, and the things that he would do to you were not the greatest. But no matter how bad Joanna and her husband were treated by Herod, they continued to be loyal to him, and he took care of their substance. Now, we need to realize that Joanna's husband was one of the servants, or actually was a steward of Herod. He was one of the highest servants there were that took care of Herod. And we need to understand that if he did something wrong, he could have lost his head, because Herod would not put up with anything like that. You know, many times when we're treated badly, it's hard to be loyal to the ones who have rule over us. You know, we as good born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ need to realize that we need to be loyal to our employers. We need to be loyal to our government. We need to take and be loyal to those who have rule over us. And if we are, God is going to bless us. Now, she was also loyal to the Lord. She was a follower of the Lord Jesus, and she helped in his efforts. You know, no doubt she had to follow, much like Nicodemus did. How did Nicodemus follow the Lord? Go to John chapter 3. Yeah, let's go to John chapter 3 real quick. And this is how many of the people of the day had to take and follow the Lord. And in John chapter 3, if I can get it here. There we go. Starting at verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. So here we see that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a man of great power. He was a man that people looked up to, but yet he came to Jesus by night. He followed secretly the Lord. And I believe that Joanna had to do the same thing. Even though she was friends with Mary, even though she was probably friends with Martha, she was probably friends with Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was probably friends with Mary Magdalene and some of those who were women that were kind of in the inner circle, so to speak, that were around the Lord most of the time. But she had to follow probably a long ways off because of the position that her husband had with Herod. Now, if Herod would have found out that she was one that followed Jesus very closely, he could have very easily had her arrested and thrown in prison. But there's many who had to follow in secret, so the Jews and the Romans did not know that they were followers of the Lord. But she was very loyal. She helped in the efforts of the Lord, helped with his substance, helped with the food for the disciples and things like that. But also, second thing I see is that she was loving. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 3, it says, "And Joanna, the wife of Cephas, the Herod steward, and Susanna and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." But she was the wife of Chuza, C-H-U-Z-A. And anyway, but she was married to a man, and she no doubt took care of her husband's needs. She had to have loved her husband very much. No doubt he may have come home to tell of all the ills that had happened through the day, how badly he had been treated, and how badly the day went for him. And she may have had to comfort him, even though she may have had a bad day herself. And, you know, that's the nice thing about having a wife that cares for your needs and can take and help you get through some of the bad times that you have. My wife never has to do that for me because I never have a bad day, right? Ever? No. And but, you know, I'm sure that he did not make a lot of money. You know, he may have had to rely on what he was given by Herod to support his family and his wife. And his wife stuck with him through thick and thin. She not only loved her husband, but she also loved the Lord. And I really believe that she gave a lot of what she had to help the Lord in his ministry. She ministered unto him of her substance. Now, these people didn't have much to give, but they gave of what they had to help the Lord and his disciples to be able to travel as they did. Now, they gave out of a giving heart, not of necessity. You know, Jesus did not need for them to give him anything, did he? I mean, you know, let's face it. He fed the 5,000 with what? What did he use? Five loaves of bread and three fishes. And so here we see that, you know, Jesus really didn't need what they gave. However, he used what they gave to further his ministry. Now, we need to understand how many people were traveling with the Lord when he traveled. It wasn't just the 12. You know, it wasn't just the 12 apostles that were with him, Peter, James, John, and so on. But there were hundreds of people that followed him. And so there was a lot of need there to help feed the people and to clothe them and things like that. But, you know, we need to give out of the abundance that God has given to us to further the work here at Florence Baptist Church. You know, God has allowed us to have so much here at this church. You know, we have a food bank in which most, believe it or not, of us are blessed by it. We have a nice building which God has given to us to use for his honor and his glory. We have a Christian school which has allowed us to train up the next generation of men and women for the honor and glory of God. And we have a counseling ministry which allows us to help people walk in the way that they should for the Lord. You know, each of us need to realize the importance of what God has given us for His honor and His glory. And you know, as I was doing this lesson today, I got to thinking about, you know, what it would take back in the days of Jesus to continue the work that they were doing. You know, Jesus went from town to town, and, you know, where did they get the food from? They had to go buy it somewhere. They had to go to the market and purchase the food because no one was working at that time that was with Jesus. You know, what did Peter, James, and John do for a living? They're fishermen. Well, they weren't out in catching fish to make any money. They were following the Lord. Well, how did they eat? Where did they stay? How did they survive? Well, it was by people like Joanna who gave of what they had to help further the ministry there. You know, it's much like today. You know, you look at our missionaries that we support and things like that. You know, most all missionaries don't work. They don't have a secular job. They're in a land where they may not be able to have a secular job. I think of the Radcliffes down in Mexico. You know, Brother Radcliffe, he doesn't have a secular job in Mexico. He has to depend on the people from the United States that support him and support the ministry there. I just got a prayer letter from them the other day, and he had did some revivals down in Chihuahua, and they had over 4,000 people saved at these revivals he did. Well, you know, the fruit that they're seeing down there is astronomical. In fact, another friend of mine, they went and they took down two semis of Bibles down to him. And there was over 25,000 Bibles that they took down to Brother Radcliffe. And they've been passing those Bibles out as they go and do these revivals and things. And so there's a lot of people that are being saved and things like that and given God's word. And it all comes from people like us who support the different things that are going on. And it was the same way in Jesus' life. You know, they couldn't do everything themselves. They had to have support from someone, somewhere, to carry on the efforts that they were doing. Exactly. He knew what she was doing. He knew that that she was following the Lord. And I believe that he may have been a believer also secretly, just like Nicodemus was. You know, and he may have known that Nicodemus was a follower too, because Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. And but they followed in the dark, so to speak. They were what I call closet Christians. You know what I mean? Right. Or they would have been killed. But not only that, but she was also long-lasting. In Luke chapter 24, verse 10, it says, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, that's this Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that went with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Here we see her being one of the women who went to the grave on resurrection morning to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, these women that I mentioned, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and some other women, they were going to the tomb to anoint Jesus. Now, as we recall, the night that he was crucified, or the afternoon he was crucified, by the time they got him off of the cross and took him to the tomb, the day was just about over. And the Jews had to have people in the ground before the sun went down. So they had very little time to prepare the body the night that he was buried. And what we need to realize is that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took the body and they embalmed it with 100 pounds of myrrh. 100 pounds of embalming fluid, so to speak, is what they put in the Lord. Now, when he went in there, we see that he was buried. The stone was rolled in front of it, and he was there for 3 days and three nights. Now, she could have gone and followed no more like many people did. You know, she could have said, okay, he's dead. He's on the cross. He died. Okay, that's all there is to it. And she could have done like the disciples did, or a lot of the disciples, and followed no more. She could have said, well, you know what? There's no use of going on. He didn't do what he said he was going to do. He died. He didn't become the king of the Jews. He died. Now he's buried. And she could have just threw up her hands and said, okay, I'm all done messing around with this. But she didn't. She could have believed not and did as so many others did. She could have fled and hid so that she wouldn't be found out as being one of the believers that followed him. But here she was very early in the morning going to anoint the body of the man that she believed was the Messiah. Now, you know, I find it very interesting that, you know, Jesus told everyone that he was going to rise again the third day. Now, they didn't really believe him, because here's these women going to the tomb to anoint a body that wasn't going to be there. And if they would have known what he said and believed what he said, they probably wouldn't have even went. Now, she was not afraid to be seen by anyone going to the grave that morning because of her long-lasting love for the Lord. But, you know, now she's not afraid anymore, because what has happened? He's dead. Yeah, he's dead. She wasn't afraid anymore because he's in the tomb. He's dead. He isn't there anymore. So what do I have to be afraid of, right? And so that's what she did, is she was not afraid to go to the tomb. But what a shock it had to be for them to go to the grave and it was empty. You know, think about that. Here's these women, very early in the morning, the sun is just starting to come up. They're probably walking yet in the dark a little bit. And they get to the tomb and they find the stone rolled away. Now, when the women saw the tomb empty, they knew their eyes were now opened, and Jesus, because of what Jesus had said. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to raise again the third day according to the Scripture. Now, they did not believe it until they got to the tomb. And there's this stone rolled away. They walked inside, and there's nothing there. You know, so, you know, she had to be long, or had been long lasting, giving of her substance, but she was more long lasting by giving herself. You know, she stuck with it until the end. You know, we have no proof, however, that, and I believe that she was probably in the upper room when Jesus appeared to the 11. You know, there was 28 people in the upper room when Jesus walked through the door. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but if she'd have been in the room, because I know Mary Magdalene was in there, and so was Mary, the mother of James, and so was a lot of these other women that went to the tomb were in the room with the 11. Now, all of a sudden, you're there, and you get done praying for what you're about to eat, and all of a sudden, here Jesus appears in the room. You know, I would have been a little frightened too. They all were frightened because they thought it was a ghost. But what did Jesus say? He says, well, come here and touch my hand. Touch the nail prints in my hand. Touch the nail prints in my feet. Here, he says, go ahead and put your hand in my side. He says, I'm real. I've risen from the dead. I'm real. But how did he walk through the door? He's in his glorified body. Just to make things even better, he says, hey, bring me some fish that I might eat. And they did. He says, give me something to drink. You know, I don't know about you, but I think about goofy things like this, you know, sometimes. And I think they thought that if they gave him fish to eat, they'll be able to watch it go from his mouth down into his stomach. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen cartoons like that? And sometimes I think about goofy things like that. But, you know, that didn't really happen that way. Or when he took a drink, they could see it go from his mouth down his esophagus down into his stomach. You know, I don't know why I think of things like that, but, you know, I do. And but that isn't the way it was. And so he was in flesh just like you and I are. You know, we as Christians need to be long-lasting to the Lord. You know, there are far too many who want to live in the closet and be closet Christians, so to speak. They may have gotten saved, but they don't want to let anybody know that they're saved, and they do not serve the risen Savior as they should. You know, there are those who come to church on Easter Sunday and Christmas thinking that that's enough to show the Lord how much they love Him. You know, they never get involved in any of the ministries of the church. They never give to the church to further the cause of Christ. They never lead anyone to the Lord. They live their lives for their honor and their glory instead of being loyal to the Lord Jesus. You know, here we see a woman who was long-lasting to the Lord, even after he had been ridiculed, he had been scourged, he had been crucified on the cross, and yet there were many who believed by the time the Lord was crucified that Joanna's husband may have died, but there's no proof of it. And I believe that he could very easily have died in the period of time that the Lord was here on the earth. We have no proof of that or anything else because the Bible really doesn't say that much about him. But here we see a woman who was loyal. She was loving. She was long-lasting. And to her tribute, her name was listed in God's Word so that everyone who reads God's Word would see this woman who did so much in helping the Lord through his earthly ministry. You know, we need to look at Joanna's life. We need to realize there is always something more that we can do for the honor and glory of God. And, you know, that's so very true. You know, there's always something more that we can do for the cause of Christ. Now, here's a woman that God says, you know what, I'm going to take and put her name in my word so that everybody will read Joanna. You know, I think of Ruth, okay? Ruth was, and Naomi, they were in the Bible. Esther was in the Bible. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, they were all in the Bible. Now, who was, what was the name of Noah's wife? What was the name of Ham, Shem, and Japheth's wives? It's not listed. It's not listed. You know, and so God lists those who he finds that are faithful to follow him in everything that they do and say. You know, Friday night, I just wish all of you could be there on Friday night for Tug. We got into a really good discussion on Friday night on women and why God listed people in the Bible and why he didn't list other people in the Bible. And it was really a good discussion. And the teenagers, they really ask some pointed questions sometimes. And it keeps me on my toes. But, you know, and that's what I like to see, is I like to see our teenagers who want to know more about God's Word and know more about what it says in God's word and why it says it. You know, why is it God leaves out the women's name? Because it's a mystery. We won't know that until we get to heaven. You know, somebody said, well, do you think the ones he left out are in heaven? I don't know. I have no idea. You know, is Noah's wife in heaven? Is, we never saw Seth's wife's name. You know, there's a lot of women that aren't mentioned in the Bible. You know, men are mentioned, but women aren't. And I always found that kind of interesting, is that there's a lot of men, believe it or not, that are not listed by name in the Bible, but they might be listed by their occupation. If you look at the tent makers and stuff that Paul worked with, the only two that we know of is I'm trying to think of their name. I'll think of it. But anyway, there was two that ministered to him, and their names are in God's work. But what about the rest of them that there were? What about the people that were in the early church? You know, they're not listed in the Bible. And so why? I have no idea, but God knows. And it's amazing of how he put certain people in his word and how he kept certain people out. One of the ones I think are so interesting is David's chosen men. There was 30 of them, and they're all listed in the Bible. Huh? Yeah. Yep. No. But Lazarus' name is written. Yeah. Right. There's a lot of men that weren't listed in the Bible. You know, we were talking about Moses' wife, there's first wife, Zephra was mentioned, but his second wife wasn't. The one that he married, the Ethiopian woman, her name wasn't mentioned in the Bible. And No, it was a different woman. She died. His first wife died. Zipporah died, and then Moses remarried, and he married many feel that he married an Ethiopian woman, a black woman, and Miriam and Aaron were upset because of his choice in women, but we don't know what her name was. We have no idea what her name was. And it's interesting how God, even though Moses was a man of God, and he did everything God wanted him to, and he walked with God, and God talked with him face to face, there's a lot of things in his life that we don't know. And they're mysteries. And someday, when we get to heaven, we're going to know everything that there is to know about everybody, and which is going to be kind of cool. I can hardly wait for that. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your love. I just thank you so much for this one woman, Joanna. I just pray that we can take and pattern her life after her. She was a loyal woman, and she was a loving woman, and she was long-lasting. And she did everything that she could possibly do in her power to further the gospel of Christ. Father, help us that we can take and do the same. Help us to take and be able to further your gospel throughout Florence and Coolidge and the surrounding area. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll be with the church service, that everything will be done, be for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're going to start church in about 15 minutes.